Good morning, Bridge City Church. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet or introduce myself, my name's Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you chose to be here with us worshiping God and praising His name. We're about 10 minutes out from the Steeler game starting, and I was taking a little bit of a poll as people were walking in. Do you think the Steeler game is going to affect the attendance at the 9 a.m. worship experience? And the best answer I received was, I don't care if it does, because I know I'm in the room. So listen, you're in the room this morning, and I will know if you're watching the game. We're continuing our series today entitled Big Picture, and today we're talking about eternity, and it's not going to pop up on the screen behind me, but I want to read to you a verse out of Philippians 3, just to set the tone of where we're at. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ. Lord, we thank You so much for that perspective You give us out of Your word, Lord. God, we pray that this morning You would be above all else. Lord, that You would draw each and every one of us closer to You in such a way that when we go outside of these walls, our desire is to draw more and more people closer to You. God, that their eternities would be changed because of what You did on the cross and them receiving that gift. Lord, I pray that every single person in this place today would wake up to You and know that they are sons and daughters of the King. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would take action, that we would move forward with bold faith in everything that we do. And Lord, I pray that as we do those things, Lord God, that we would see not only our lives change, but the people around us, the communities around us, the city around us, the state and the nation. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So as we continue our series, Big Picture, today we're talking about a question that I believe so many people ask and so many people feel and so many people live in attention of. But where are we going after this life is gone? You know, so many people ask that question and there's so much confusion in our world. But I pray that our message today brings some clarity to that question. And I pray that the message today changes some people's eternities because of what's going to be spoken and delivered. So I want to give you, I want to set the tone a little bit and give you some stats that are eye-opening. According to worldpopulationreview.com, 172,824 people die every day in the world. Every day. 7,201 die every hour. So before we're done with our time from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., 7,201 people have gone to their eternity. 120 people die every minute. Two people die every second. Two, four, six, eight, 10, 12. You get the picture? Here's one of the most eye-opening stats, and this one is 100% accurate. 100%. There's no doubt about it. Those stats could change. It might be 125 now per minute. And that changes everything above and below. But here's a stat that will never change. 10 out of 10 people still die. You're like, man, I should have went and watched the Steeler game. Listen, they might just lose in a different state, country today. I don't know. But these are real discussions that we have to have. And it's important discussions for us to have. Us recognizing that 10 out of 10, 100% of people are going to choose their eternity. It's a choice. It's a choice. So the question of eternity, what's after this life? First, let me start by saying this. God is eternal. He has no beginning, no end. And time is not something that he thinks of the same way that we do. God was not created. He is. Let's read Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything else and was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. All. He holds all of this together. Everything that we will walk through, have walked through, he held it together. From the moment we were born, he held us together. As a matter of fact, from the moment we were formed in our mother's womb, he held us together and our world. Everything. Verse 15, Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the one who existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all. He was not created, but he existed before all creation. Our brains can't fathom that. But so many of us in this room, we haven't even scratched the surface yet of who God is. To us, to our family, to our church, to our community, he is all. And I'm having more and more conversations with people asking the question, who is he? Who am I because of him? When we walk in knowing everything that he is, and everything that he rules over, which is all. He's supreme over anything and everything. Not some, but all. Verse 16, he is supreme, preeminent, Lord over all things, the things we see and the things we cannot see. He is supernatural. The power that we get to walk in is him. Listen, not just here on earth, but in heaven. He rules over all. He's eternal, existing outside of time, for he is the one who created time. We struggle sometimes with having to wait a week or a month or a year or sometimes years for an answer. And when we get the answer, we see what he was doing all the while. But we think that's a long time if we have to wait a year or numerous years or a decade or over a decade. But time does not matter to him. It doesn't matter the same way that it does to us. Verse 17, he existed before anything else and holds all creation together. God does not have a beginning or an end. He's everlasting. Now, I want to paint a picture for you of what it looks like that God is holding everything together. But sometimes we need to live in the tension of that and understand what the opposite side looks like. How many of you have ever heard of Rockefeller Center in New York City? Yes. Yeah? Any of you ever been there? Ever been there? Awesome. Awesome. Well, you probably saw the statue that's about to pop up of Atlas. This man holding the world. Now listen, I can't help but focus on the all the muscles that are being used. The weight of the world on his shoulders. Struggling to hold the weight. You know, there are men in this room that can relate to that statement. I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. I have so much going on in my life, my family's life, my work life, all these things, and I feel like I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. Let me paint this picture for you a little bit more, okay? Now, I know everybody's phones are going to pop out now, and they're going to take pictures of the next picture. Go ahead, Megs. Some will say it's fake, but the people in this room that know it's real, they're in here. The people I'm holding up, they're all in here. This is me at Nate's wedding. That's Nate, that's his brother Christian, and that's me. Yes, I'm half the man I used to be. But that guy that was holding his brothers was struggling with feeling like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. The weight of the world. But I was starting to gather some wisdom from some people around me that were helping me to see things a little differently. This picture on the left is your right, my left is a little bit different. This guy's holding Nate, Christian, and my niece Blake, who's also here in the back. She can tell you that these pictures are real. Things started to change in my life. Things started to change when this picture was taken. I didn't feel like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders as much, but my perspective was being changed. My perspective was not pointed towards the here and now, but my perspective was beginning to become eternal. And here's why my perspective was changing. Because I got the whole picture of understanding that God, that Jesus holds the world in his hands. This is a picture coming up of across the street from Rockefeller Center at a cathedral. Jesus holding the world in his hands. It's not a struggle for him. It's not a weight for him. It's not something that he feels as a burden that he has to overcome. It is a joy that he has your world, our world, my world in his hands. And he knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. So listen, I don't know what you walked out in here with today, but I do know what you can walk out of here with. A weight lifted off of your shoulders when you give him everything that he was called to carry. Now, sometimes you may be here and you may think, well, I set it down at the cross, but you're a Mon Valley-er. You picked it back up. You may have had a phenomenal experience last Sunday. You might have had a great experience at Connection Group this past week, but you, most of the time, pick up the stuff again that you laid down at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to give you some of the most profound advice that can ever be given. Y'all ready? Yep. Yeah. Okay. Stop it. Stop. Stop carrying things that you weren't meant to carry and allow for your perspective to be changed. See things not because of your here and now, but because of where you're going. Not only is God eternal, but we are eternal, and he wants nothing more than to spend eternity with us. Nothing more. We were created to be in his presence, and he wants nothing more than us to spend eternity there. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone, everybody say everyone, who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Have eternal life is written in a present tense, not only a future one. Your life here and now will change if you know what you're living for. I always want to know my destination. I don't need to know everything in between. Rachel and I, when we go on road trips, if it takes 6 hours to get there, it's going to take us close to 9. I just know. I'm not a, no, we're not stopping, we're going until we run out of gas type of guy. I'm like, let's stop. Let's hang out. Let's enjoy it. I mean, this Starbucks might be different than the last one. You know? This rest stop might be different than the last one we stopped at. Rachel and I drove to Virginia Beach one time, and it took us an hour to get onto the turnpike in Irwin. Irwin. We live in White Oak, McKeesport. An hour. We stopped at Starbucks and Sheetz. You gotta make a Sheetz run before a turnpike run. You got to. But we knew where we were going. And we had joy all the while because I had a playlist prepared for the trip. Have eternal life. What does that look like? I know that it looks like the weight of the world is taken off your shoulders. The weight of your stresses about today and your worries about tomorrow are taken off your shoulders. Can I give you an example? And this isn't an example that I thought I was going to have. I walked in here this morning, I rounded the corner, said hi to Phil, who's over there, and then my phone rang. And I looked down, and it was Rachel, my baby. Comes up, my baby with a little heart. And I knew she knew where I was at. She doesn't call unless it's an emergency or something's needed. So her phone call always gets answered, regardless of where I'm at, who I'm with, what meeting it is. Her phone call gets answered because she knows where I'm at, and she knows if she's going to interrupt me, it's worth it. So I walk in, and she says, "Hey, Nick, there's she doesn't call me Pastor Nick, by the way, just so you, it's just Nick. And if she's mad at me, it's Nicholas. She's never used Nicholas Joseph. But she said, "Hey, there's water all over the basement." I was like, "Oh, cool. Where's it coming from?" She's like, "The hot water tank." So then I did what I should do. I FaceTimed her, and then I went to somebody. Listen, some people are master plumbers, and some people hang out with master plumbers. I hang out with one. And I went to him. We figured it out, and everything's going to be good. And my Sunday afternoon, which is going to be a Sunday of rest, is not going to be a Sunday of rest. It's going to be a wet Sunday in my basement. But guess what didn't change? My joy didn't change an ounce. My perspective didn't change an ounce. As a matter of fact, I got more joy after I got a call that was supposed to take my joy away. More. It's all about your perspective. And guess what? The enemy's not after me. The enemy's not after me. He's not, "Oh, I'm going to get his hot water tank today." No, the hot water tank's almost 10 years old. That happens. It happens. But my perspective wasn't changed. Guess what? Something's going to happen to you tomorrow. Something might happen to you this afternoon. Something might be happening to you right now. You're ignoring text messages. Your phone's going off in your pocket. You're ignoring something that's going on in your life right now, but it's not going to change your perspective if you have an eternal one. Matthew 25, verse 31. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in his presence. And he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left." Verse 46, "And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Heaven and hell are real. They're real destinations. They are very real destinations. And I'm praying that today your perspective is shifted towards eternal and not the opposite. I want you to give people heaven. I don't want you to give them hell. Give people heaven in everything that you do. So what is hell? There's an example of hell in a place called Gehenna. This detestable place that was near Jerusalem used to illustrate what hell is going to look like and feel like. This detestable place, a garbage dump burning, not only animals, but all the garbage that came from the humans and humans. Rachel and I recently drove through Pitcairn, and I'm not comparing Pitcairn to Gehenna. I'm not. I know how you could have got there real quick. I am not. But Waste Management has their garbage dump over the hill. And Rachel didn't know that. And we're driving through, and she's like, what is that smell? I said, that is all the garbage that Waste Management picks up. Everything. You can smell it when you're driving past, especially on a hot day. Imagine that times a million. Now, if you live in Pitcairn, you know what I'm talking about, because you know the Waste Management's right there. You know. But there's places that I know of that people describe as, oh, that's like hell. It's not even close. I'm going through hell. No, you're not. You can go through heaven now. It's eternal separation from God. I lived 19 years of my life without Jesus. I know what those 19 years felt like. Now, Jesus was present through all 19 of them, but I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. I wasn't walking with him. I felt like I was going through hell. But he had heaven for you, for me, and for us. Now let's just throw this on to the end. Fire and flames. Scriptural references for you to read. I've been in the mercy burn unit. I can't fathom the pain that people have gone through that have been stuck in a fire or in a fire in a car accident. I can't fathom it because that's pain on a whole nother level. I don't want to dwell there. And I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to help you all have the perspective of heaven so that nobody you know or come in contact with goes there. So the question comes from this portion, why did God create hell? For Satan sent him there. So why does God send people to hell? He doesn't. We send ourselves. He does not send people to hell. We choose our destination. You chose to come here today. No one forced you. You chose. Now, somebody might have dragged you. You might have come because you're tired of being invited, but you chose. I'm so proud to say that there are men in this room that wrestled with staying home today. But they chose to be here because the Steelers don't dictate their joy. Anybody know the score? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't tell me. I'm going to watch it later. Don't you tell me. 7-0. All right, there we go. He didn't say who, though. Listen, God is perfect and just and perfectly loving and wants nothing more than you to spend eternity with him. 1 John 4, verse 18, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We have nothing to be afraid of, but we need to have a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear. I want nothing more than for our lives to honor him. I have a healthy fear of God and what it looks like to live a life that honors the Father in everything. Now he's a forgiving God. Yes, he is, 100%. But that is not a get out of jail free card. You don't get to do whatever you want and then say, forgive me. He knows your heart. Now there may be people in this room that you're really struggling with that thing that's separating you from God. You're really struggling with it. There's a difference between struggling and actively living in. I feel the tension of, I want to go do this, or I want to go do that, or you want to go hang out with that certain group of people, or whatever it may be. But your choice is to walk in a way that honors him. You're not posting up at the bar every Friday night or Saturday night, knowing that you could be forgiven on Sunday morning. There's a difference between struggling with and walking in. So what will it look like when we get to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or for the evil that we have done in this earthly body. There are rewards in heaven. And I'm so excited to be in a room that I see people stacking them up. Stacking them up. Over and over and over and over again. Investing in eternity. Fear will keep us from investing in eternity, but faith will push us towards it. Romans 14, verse 10, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we all will stand before God at the judgment seat of God. It is not your job to always push people down. It's your job to build them up. To build them up to a point where they meet him. And you don't need to carry the weight of their salvation. He did. He's carrying it. I pray that each and every one of you will not only have an eternal perspective for your own family and your own life and your church, but I pray that you will have an eternal perspective for those people outside of these walls. One thing that Rachel and I prayed for years is that we will see people not as the world sees them or as their or where they're currently sitting, but where they could be going. Listen, I've had parents sit on our couch, and then I've had their kids sit on our couch and tell us what they're struggling with, what they're going through. I know that one day Lennon is going to sit on somebody's couch. And I'm telling them already, listen, bud, I'm not perfect. I'm just chasing after the one who is. So you're probably going to need therapy one day, but we all do. We all do. If you had parents or you're a parent, you know that you're not perfect. This judgment that people are going to receive, I hope we prepare them for the test. May we live a life that prepares them for the test. Because it's going to happen. Y'all ready for the good part? Yep. Me too. Heaven. It's found 276 times in the New Testament alone. this is where we're going. No pain, death, suffering, or tears. I question the tears part because I cry a lot and are usually tears of joy. So I think that I might just be crying all the time, but I might not get dehydrated because heaven, there's no pain or suffering. So there might be tears of joy. I don't know. But there's not going to be tears of sorrow and pain. God's perfect presence overwhelming us. A new creation. You know that limp you started to get when you turned 40? Or those creaks that you heard when you turned 42, 45? That noise you make when you stand up? Ugh. Listen, if you haven't started making that noise yet, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. Start stretching now. We're going to be a new creation. All those things go away. We're going to receive our heavenly body. I don't know if I'm going to be a giant in heaven. I might be short. I don't know. I'm going to be a new creation. I might be able to play the drums in heaven. I can't play them here, but I might be able to play them in heaven. In Jesus' name, it's a prayer I've had that the Holy Spirit will fall upon me one day and I'll be able to play that kit, just one worship set, just one. I leaned over to Jordan during worship. I said, I wish I could do that. Nick was doing the cymbals. I want to do that just once. A glory beyond comparison. You think you've sensed the weight of God and the presence of God and the glory of God in your life? Wait till heaven. Just wait. A joyful fellowship and worship. You think you experience joy and peace and love and excitement in this place? Whew. This is just heaven practice. This is just practice. Practice. Thank you, Brody, for smiling and getting the fact that that was an Allen Iverson thing. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I wrestled with sharing this illustration, but I think it puts things in perspective. I want you to think of twin babies in their mother's womb. Okay, now I can only imagine that they can communicate with each other in some way, shape, or form. Now, imagine these two babies, and one twin looks at the other twin and says, I can't wait for life after delivery. And the second baby says, there's no life after delivery. This is all there is. This is it. And the first baby says, no, there's life after delivery, and it's going to be so different than here. We're going to get to meet our mother face to face. And the other baby says, listen, there's no such thing as a mother. Have you ever seen mother? And the first baby replies, well, no, but sometimes I can hear her voice and I sense her presence all around us. And the second baby says, that's ridiculous. The first baby says, in life, after delivery, we're going to be able to walk and talk and eat with our hands and our mouth and do so many other things. Nonsense. This cord's all I need. What you're talking about is illogical and doesn't make sense. Heaven's going to be so much better than the world that we're living in right now. And I cannot wait to stand before our Father in heaven and see him and worship him and receive the eternal reward that we're stacking up. I can't wait. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. What? That's amazing. That's all we need is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It's okay that you haven't seen it yet. Live with an excitement to go there. I'm going to paint the picture again. I like illustrations. Some call them bunny trails. They're not. Rachel and I were really blessed recently to be able to spend a night at Nemacolin. I had never been there except to work an event. I had no idea what we were walking into, but I knew from what people told me, it's great. I had never seen everything that I saw. I had never experienced everything that I experienced. It was phenomenal. Since we left, we've been trying to figure out a way to go back. It's that amazing. The toilet costs more than my whole upstairs at my house. We left. The following week, I stayed at the Best Western in Indiana State. It was a shocking contrast. Shocking. They did not come in and put cookies on the nightstand. They did not put slippers and a robe and a mat next to my bed. They said, hey, the pool's broken. Somebody stole the fuses. And Chuck, who I was with, said, where are we staying at? I said, not just the Western, the Best Western. Heaven? It was a beautiful illustration. I know where I'm going. I want to make sure you're going there with me. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking toward what lies ahead. Forget the past. Forget all the stuff you did and that was done to you. Focus on the future. Now, your future may not have been decided yet by you. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling us. Where are you going? What's your destination? You have to make a choice. And if you already made the choice that you're going to heaven, your call to action now is take a whole bunch of people with you. Live your life in such a way that it draws people closer to Jesus. Live your life in such a way that people see that there's something different about you, and it's Him. Live your life in such a way people sense joy and peace and self-control and love oozing out of your life. If you haven't made that decision yet, I'm going to ask you to stop working the job that you're working. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell people all the time, if you say something to me and then you say a but after what you said, that erases everything that was said prior to that. The but God moment in this verse cancels the payment that we are going to receive if we continue to live a life of sin, which is separation from God. The but God moment cancels everything that happened to you or you did, cancels it. Cancels eternal damnation places you next to him in his eternal glory forever and always. But it all rests upon whether or not you've answered the question, have I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or have I not? I didn't ask you, do you believe in him? Even the demons believe. I asked you if you accepted him and started to follow him. Do you have a day, a time, a place where you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've prayed for forgiveness from the repentance of your sins. You've received that forgiveness, and now you're walking with him as Lord, leader of your life. If you don't have that day, that time, that place, I'm going to ask you to do the bravest thing you've ever done. And that's slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that time, that day, that place. I don't know where I'm going, but I want to know my destination. Anyone at all today? There's people wrestling with this question right now. You're wrestling with it, and you're so afraid of what the people next to you, amen, are going to think, amen. Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass, because you're not promised later. You're promised a destination, but you're not promised later. Oh, I'll wait till later. I'll wait till next week. I'll wait till no one's around. Do you have a day, a time, a place where you've received him? Lord, I thank you for the two individuals that raised their hand that reached towards you, Lord. God, I thank you for the decision they made. And Lord, I thank you that as they continue to walk through that decision, that there would be people that would surround them, encourage them, empower them, and equip them for everything that is ahead of them, this side of heaven and in heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, if you raised your hand, there's going to be somebody that's going to come pray with you and encourage you and help you understand what you